And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Yes, hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to Monday's 9 till noon show. It's 4 minutes past 9, and this Monday's the 28th of April, 2025. How was your weekend? How are you all doing? I hope you're well. For many people, it's back to work and back to school and back to the routine. Chat to different people over the weekend, and parents generally delighted, I think, when school's back. That's a generalisation, not everyone, but you know what I mean. And hopefully now we'll get a bit of good weather this week. The forecast looking pretty decent for tomorrow, Wednesday, and not too bad either into the weekend. Anyway, we're going to focus on today for now. 086 60 25,000. The WhatsApp and text line is open for you. Send in your messages if you choose to. If you want to send a voice message, feel free to do so to WhatsApp on 086 60 25,000. It's 07 491 25,000 if you want to pick up the phone and give us a call, or you can email comments at highlandradio.com. And you can email us whenever you're listening to the show, whether it's a podcast or when we repeat the show in the early hours of the morning. Don't feel your voice is not as important as the live listeners. Of course it is. And of course you can watch the show if you're at home. We're on your smart TV or your Fire Stick on the YouTube app. Just search Highland Radio Ireland, and also on Facebook and on X. More woes for our firefighters when visiting the scene of a blaze, it would seem, according to the Derry People Donegal News. Of course, in the past, we've discussed issues of finding hydrants, hydrants being covered over or not functioning or not where they're supposed to be. And hopefully those concerns are being addressed. But there's further concerns being raised over water pressure issues on the site of the devastating fire that destroyed St Mary's Church in Derrybeg on Easter Monday. It's emerged the fire crews had to take water from a nearby stream as they attempted to battle the blaze. The problem came to light in the aftermath of the tragedy when it was brought to the attention of local councillor John Seamus O'Ferry. He revealed to the Donegal News that responding fire crews were forced to draw water from a stream which runs beside the nearby old church after discovering that the pressure from the hydrants was too low. Emergency services were first alerted to the fire shortly after 4 a.m. on Easter Monday. Fire crews from Gwydor, Dunloe, Fulcara, Glenties and Letterkenny responded quickly to the scene. So it's a tough enough job what these guys do, and to not have the resources to do it, problematic. So is that a quirk of the location of the church? Is it a wider problem? Anyone in the fire service wants to talk about that, or anyone with any information to 086 60 25,000. There's been a huge reaction to that fire, and I note I wasn't able to go myself. I'd love to have been able to go. There was a concert organised at short notice and in Crawley, and it seemed packed at the weekend, and people seemed in good spirits, and rightly so, because as I say, it is devastating, but there's going to be a rebuilding project. A lot of money has been raised, and it's about hope now, and there seemed to be plenty of hope at the weekend. So fair play to Daniel and all that were involved in that concert. A stroke consultant at Altna Galvin says staff at the hospital are encountering a disturbing phenomenon in which people have suffered stroke damage even though they've never reported symptoms. This is in the Derry News. Dr. Deshpande has spoken out to raise more awareness around the burning problem, which he has labelled silent strokes. As we review brain scans in our Altna Galvin TIA clinic, we frequently encounter a disturbing phenomenon: patients with clear evidence of stroke damage who never reported symptoms. These silent strokes amount for 1 in 3 strokes in Northern Ireland, yet remain dangerously overlooked. Unlike dramatic strokes with paralysis or speech loss, silent strokes manifest as subtle memory lapses or balance issues, often dismissed as normal ageing. So not wishing to cause any alarm, just to raise awareness, and maybe we might be talking about this, people are suffering strokes, and that's coming up on brain scans, but they haven't really talked of symptoms or reported symptoms, and it's been put down to one thing rather than the stroke. And obviously, you know, if you had a stroke, you should be getting treatment for that, shouldn't you? Maybe that resonates with you. 086 60 25,000. Are you one of those people who learned that you had a stroke even though you didn't know you had a stroke? It might be interesting to sort of get your perspective on it and how it affected you, and then once you found out how it made you feel and what you did next. If you want to speak, please give us a call, 07491 25000, or outside the Republic, 00353 749 125000. Lots of coverage of Kneecap. They are a band, an Irish rap band or trio, and footage of Irish rap trio Kneecap allegedly calling for the death of British MPs is being assessed by counter-terrorism police. This is in the Irish Independent. Video emerged of the band at a November 2023 gig, appearing to show one person from Kneecap saying, "The only good Tory is a dead Tory. Kill your local MP." Earlier in the week, footage emerged of another gig last year in November, which seemed to show a band member shouting, "Up Hamas, up Hezbollah," at a performance at the Kentish Town Forum, and a Hezbollah flag being displayed. Now, I think these are almost two separate things, in that, you know, a lot of people are picking sides as it relates to matters in the Middle East. I'm not saying what they did is right or wrong, but I mean, if they want to support Hamas, is that the same as calling for the death of MPs? It's a tough one with music, because an awful lot has been said in music. And I mean, if you listen to, I don't know, if you listen to Eminem even in his early days, or you listen to any rap music, or you listen to Public Enemy or Tupac Shakur or Biggie Smalls or any of those, I mean, often, you know, violence towards the police or elected representatives featured in some of the lyrics, violence against others. We're a smaller pond here, and I think it is going to be problematic for the band if they're calling on people to kill their local Tory MP, especially given the fact that not a Tory MP, but certainly MPs have died in on-street violence. It's a problem for them. I think they've got a platform, and I think they can use that platform. I think they've overstepped the mark here, and I don't know what they're going to do about it. They don't seem like the type of crew that are going to apologise. Well, yesterday, the Met Police spokesperson said, "We were made aware of a video on April 22nd, believed to be from an event in November 24, and it has been referred to the Counter-Terrorism Internal Referral Unit for assessment and to determine whether any further police investigation may be required." Is it art? Is it the way it is? I don't know. I don't really, haven't formulated an opinion on it. What do you think? I mean, art, people have always been very expressive in art and challenging views and even saying stuff that you may not necessarily believe. But I think it could be problematic because they said the only good Tory is a dead Tory. Kill your local MP. What do you think? 086 60 25000. Big protest down in Dublin. The only coverage in it today is the public order element of it, which was small. I'm not amplifying this. It's just the only way it's been covered in the papers today. And I think there was quite a strong Donegal contingent down in Dublin. There was three arrests, which is minor given the amount of people that are out in the streets. But I'll read on. Three people were arrested for public order offences during a large anti-immigration march and counter-demonstration in Dublin city centre on Saturday. I don't know from which side the arrests took place. The arrests were understood to be for minor matters, including failing to follow the direction of a guard. Despite the large numbers involved, the event passed off mostly peacefully. No major incidents of note occurred, Gardaí said. Taoiseach Micheál Martin said yesterday that he rejects the negativity of those who protested against immigration and the government in Dublin city centre on Saturday. Mr Martin, who was speaking at the annual Fianna Fáil 1916 commemoration held at Harbour Hill Cemetery in Dublin, he said, "I don't accept the negativity from those who spoke yesterday in respect of where modern Ireland is today. The level of opportunity in modern Ireland is far in excess of anything previous generations experienced in terms of educational competition and so on." And these, they're tough ones because, you know, there are very well-intended people who are concerned about changing demographics in their local area. It's often lots of young men, they say, about them being vetted. I've never been vetted, but anyway, that's by the by. Going into a particular area, there's absolutely no doubt that, say, for instance, in Letterkenny, there are more people that are fearful of going out and about. There is a sense that, you know, you hear, this is what people are saying. I'm not saying it's true. But they say that, you know, there's different laws for different people. And there's a protest coming up in Letterkenny at the weekend. And the conversation often is it's not about those people that have come here legally and that are working and are part of the Irish community. It's about illegal immigration, although that's a misnomer in that if you come here and apply for asylum, you're not illegal. But anyway, there's no point getting into semantics. But that being said, then what happens is the videos emerge of people shouting at, you know, black guys who've been here for 10, 15, 20 years, shouting at them to go home. That seems to emerge. And that's, I often think, well, what would I feel like if I was a person of colour living here or working in the hospital or in the care sector or in construction or any part of society whatsoever, or as a second or third generation person from a different country living here? Because as I say, they're framed as being anti-illegal immigration, but when you get guys and girls that have been here for, you know, most of their lives or half their lives and people are shouting, go home, then you wonder, well, what is actually really going on? What do you think? 086 60 25,000. I don't think unions sometimes do themselves any favours, you know. I read this one initially and I didn't think it was a joke, but I thought, you know, it comes across as a joke. It's in the Irish Daily Mail. A statutory maximum working temperature is among extreme weather proposals being put forward to protect workers. A statutory maximum working temperature. Trade Union Unite is seeking a meeting with Enterprise Minister Peter Burke to discuss its proposals, which also include 4 days paid climate leave if conditions make travel hazardous or workers need to address pressing domestic needs due to extreme weather. The union says a maximum working temperature should be set regarding the type of work and the working environment. It's called for an action level of 24 Celsius where heat management control systems must be put in place and an absolute maximum temperature of 30 degrees or 27 degrees for strenuous jobs, at which work should stop if these cannot be prevented by using engineering control. So is this, are they saying that union members, union, what is it, the Trade Union Unite members, say if they've got workers on a building site, for an example, and it's over 27 degrees, that everyone downs tools? Is that the suggestion? The proposal also includes an obligation on employers to conduct risk assessment during extreme weather events, the cessation of all routine outdoor work during orange weather alerts. Orange? And I mean, can you imagine that in Donegal? I mean, we get orange weather alerts up here and it is grand. And also the cessation of all non-essential indoor and outdoor work during red alerts, which workers continue to be paid during such closures. I don't know if you're a worker, maybe you think this is great, or if you are an employee, you probably think it's a load of nonsense. So downing tools over 27 degrees, no work on an orange, is it, or limited work on an orange and no work on red. So no outdoor work in an orange weather warning. I think the country could ground to a halt. This is one of those stories whereby we should feel it in our premiums, but are we going to? I don't know. A new online detection system is being credited with halving the number of uninsured drivers on the country's roads. It's emerged that the percentage of uninsured cars is down to almost 50% after the introduction of the new Irish Motor Insurance Database. The new system allows Gardaí to instantly check whether or not a vehicle is covered by insurance. Research conducted by the Motor Insurance Bureau of Ireland found that private uninsured vehicles represented over 45% of overall private fleet across the country last year. That's an almost 50% reduction from when the same analysis was undertaken for 2022, when the percentage total stood at over 8%. So good news. As I say, less uninsured drivers, you would hope, though, would lead to lower premiums. We're not seeing that, according to those contacting this show anyway. The Irish Daily Mirror, the wife and brother of murderer Josef Puska are due to go on trial today over allegedly withholding information that could have led to his prosecution. Marek Puska, 34, and his 35-year-old sibling, Lubomir, are charged with withholding information that could have led to an arrest or prosecution over the murder of Aisling Murphy. The 23-year-old school teacher was attacked and killed as she went for a jog in January 2022. The killer's wife, Lucia, who's 34, is also charged with withholding information on a date between January 12th and 27th of 2022. All three are accused of failing to disclose to a member of the Garda Síochána information that they are alleged to have known or believed might be of material assistance in the murder inquiry. They are set to appear before Judge Paul McDermott in the Central Criminal Court this morning. And all pictured there, as is Aisling, just 23 years of age. Such a wonderful young woman with her whole life in front of her and it taken away. And lastly, in the Sun this morning, swearing makes us stronger and happier, scientists have claimed. Caroline Orr must be as strong as an ox. So, cursing repeatedly in scientific tests increased hand grip and positive emotions, a study found. 52 men and women were made to repeatedly shout out a swear or neutral word for 10 seconds before performing a strength task. Common swear words included S and F, and the two most common neutral words were flat and wooden. The hand grip of those swearing was 1.4 kilograms stronger. Boffins from the University of Kiel, UK, and Amsterdam fans. So if you're trying to open a tin of carrots, or a, not a tin of carrots, but you know, the jars of carrots, or maybe Nutella or something, just start swearing. FFFF and all that kind of stuff, and your grip will increase, I'm told, and it will be easier for you to open. There you go. Who would have thought? We're joined on the programme by Councillor John Seamus O'Farrey. I mentioned him a little bit earlier on, and he learned that fire crews who were tackling the St Mary's Church fire in Derrybeg were struggling to source a water source, or at least an effective one. That seems to be the impression that you were given. John, good morning to you.
Martin White, Greg, good morning to you.
Martin White. So what was reported to you, John Seamus?
Well, there was some significant water pressure in the area and the location in Derrybeg and Meeting Yuller. There was two or three locations they went to, and the water pressure was very low and significant. When you consider that there were seven appliances present on the scene when the chapel got burnt down on Monday night. And this is still an ongoing issue here in the area, and it just shows the lack of investment that's happening in the area with Ishgeirin. We're looking for the last number of years to have a new replacement, even though there was only 100 metres replaced in Derrybeg last year, and that was due to councillors demanding that there would be a better water supply in the area. It just shows again that, you know, the investment is not coming from Ishgeirin, and probably in your own show and many councillors that was on it down through the last number of months and the last 2 to 3 years, it seems to have deteriorated badly in the Derrybeg area and Mignolet area. And this is well aware to Ishgeirin. We are calling for a meeting with Ishgeirin to discuss this, along with other issues that's in the Clonidy area and Fulcara area. It seems to be the same locations all the time that are affected.
And is there any programme of works that have been committed to at this point? And how extensive do you believe the infrastructure improvements would need to be, you know, to bring it up to an acceptable standard?
There would need to be significant investment, a good few million euros. The last number of years from Derrybeg to Burnalac, people were crying all the time, but it took 4 to 5 years to get a pipe replacement there. These are pipes, Greg, that are in for the last 40 to 45 years, like asbestos piping, and they're deteriorating badly. And, you know, we need proper investment in the infrastructure. But in relation to getting back to the point that the lack of pressure in the area, when you look at, lucky enough, there was a stream just beside the site where the chapel was burning at the time. I mean, where would they get the water from then? Unless they would go to the beach or somewhere. So again, it's totally unacceptable at this day and age that, you know, we're not getting the proper investment from Ishgeirin and the areas that I already mentioned.
Yeah, and the problem is it's firefighters in the moment being able to do their work safely, you know, to have sufficient water. On this occasion, it turned out it was an empty building. And I'm not trying to catastrophize either, don't get me wrong, but I mean, in when seconds count, and if this was a residential setting or something, a hotel, God knows what it could be, you know, you really need adequate water to do your job effectively, but also safely.
You do really need it, and I'd like to find out who is checking these on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, or when these inspections are carried out. Like you mentioned, it could have been a hotel. Yeah, we have a lot of accommodation in Gidor, and if there was a huge fire, I mean, if this issue keeps going, we're going to be in serious problem. And again, looking down through the years, and it seems to be the same areas all the time. And I like to commend at this stage the fire services that were on the scene that night. Absolutely, they were fantastic. But unfortunately, I was driving through this morning, and the site has been, well, it was demolished over the weekend, but the clean-up operation has begun now, and it's a very sad sight, you know, that the church in St. Mary's has gone in Derrybeg.
Yeah, indeed. But the road reopened yesterday as well, by the way, just for those who might be travelling in the area. Okay, we'll see what comes of it. Councillor John Seamus O'Ferry, thank you very much indeed for your time. 086 60 25,000. A caller says, can it be clarified what all the fundraising is for? The church in Derrybeg, is this not what insurance is for? Where will the money go when the insurance money comes in? Will this fundraising also not hurt the insurance payout? It's not to be negative, it's just a question. I mean, I understand where the question is coming from. I'm sure the building was insured. I'm not sure how it works in relation to maybe insuring something that could be deemed to be somewhat, you know, in not priceless as such, but you know, of great sentimental value. And it was made quite clear, I think, too, from even Daniel O'Donnell, who's not the local parish priest or involved in the rebuilding process, that whatever money is raised will be spent in the community. And that building was built an awful long time ago. And it's not about just your insurance is to return your building or your house to what it was before the fire, right? But that doesn't mean that you can't change the design, you can't provide community facilities that are there, you can't enhance that. And from, you know, a negative situation, that's where the positivity comes. So I'm not sure the insurance would have fully covered the rebuild back to exactly the way it was before the fire, but certainly any additional funds, I presume, will be there to enhance the services that are already there. The rebuilding of a church, but also maybe the provision of community facilities. And I think people donating, for the most part, are going in with their eyes wide open in relation to that. A caller says, Letterkenny University Hospital needs to build accommodation for the doctors. This is why doctors aren't coming. There's nowhere for them to live, and there's no public travel for them to get to the hospital. I wonder, is that part of it or a big element of it? Hi, Greg. Great show on Friday as usual. Thank you. I've been attending Galway University Hospital. It's a long journey down. The facilities down there are amazing, though. Letterkenny should be a hub for us to at least upgrade it, says a listener. There was another protest outside Letterkenny at the weekend, Letterkenny University Hospital. Rosina, who was on with us earlier in the week, was on plugging it. It's been covered extensively on this show, on this radio station. I know the newspapers and news websites have been covering it extensively, and social media has been used to try and get the message out there. But again, it has to be said, and this is not for me trying to whip up people to protest, that's not my role. The turnout was, you know, it was committed and it was strong, but it was in terms of numbers poor. And it would make you wonder, if I were a decision maker, if I were in Galway and I was listening to all this media coverage about hospital services, and I was thinking, my word, do I need to do something about that? I'll see how the protest goes at the weekend. And then I see that a couple of dozen people seem motivated enough to go out. I would go, well, you know what? It must be okay. So we're not going to worry about it. We'll ignore Rosina. We'll ignore Highland. We'll ignore the Donegal News, the Democrat, the Donegal Daily, Facebook, wherever it might be, because, you know, clearly people aren't that bothered to go out and protest. So I'm not judging anyone who didn't. I know what it's like at the weekend. People are busy. There's a lot going on. You know, there's birthday parties or sporting events or whatever. But still, if you're the head of Sealta, if you're down the country looking on, you might think that it mustn't be that big a deal if that's all the people that they could muster. And that's no disrespect to those who did turn up. And it's certainly no disrespect to those who were too busy to turn up. It's just an observation, and I wonder if you've a view on that. 086 60 25,000, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. I'll chat to you again in just a couple of moments. Okay, joined on the programme now by Conor Doherty, content creator, primarily on TikTok, is it, Conor?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Good morning. So what kind of stuff do you do?
Just kind of like I do a lot of like food reviews and kind of a lot of mental health based stuff and kind of life stuff as well. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm doing quite a lot of food reviews about dairy.
And what's the traction like? People like your stuff?
Pretty all right. I'm nearly at 20,000 followers at the moment on TikTok.
And, okay.
And it's been a fun wee journey.
And is it a job or is it just a passion or just something like a bit of a side hustle?
At the minute, it's definitely just more of a passion, to be honest. There is ways to make careers out of it, but again, you can never really trust the way social media is going to go. All it takes is an algorithm change and everything.
It goes up in the air, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, one thing you have been commenting on, though, is negativity on your work. What have you observed?
To be honest, anytime you post something online, there's always going to be something negative said about it, regardless of whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on like YouTube, on TikTok, be it someone talking about you in real life. I get a lot of hate comments based on my sexuality, for one. I get a lot of people commenting on how I look, all that kind of stuff, and it's getting a lot more common in the past couple of months, to be honest, than it has the past 5 years of it.
And why do you think you're being focused on like this? I mean, I don't think it's unique to you. I think it is just an online thing, right? But I mean, is it the more popular you get or the more likes or views that you get, that seems to attract more of this negative personal attention? They're not saying, I ate in that restaurant and the food was terrible, you're an idiot. They're focusing on your appearance, your sexuality. It's very personal based interaction.
I think the thing with posting online as well is that people think that because their account doesn't have a picture of them or isn't linked to them, that they can say whatever they want. And that because you've posted something online, everybody's entitled to their own opinion of you. I believe everyone's entitled to their own opinion of your content, but of you, it's a kind of different thing. I've noticed a lot of different creators in dairy getting a lot of different stuff said about them or to them lately. There's been a few gay content creators that I would follow from the town as well, and they are having absolute hate trains thrown on them every couple of days just because of their sexuality.
I would say the majority of that is from, you know, anonymous trolls, so to speak. But I've been down a little bit of rabbit hole lately of content creators trying to take each other down. And it seems to be a particular problem in Britain, where you get clout by effectively, you know, being incredibly critical or inciting hatred against other people. And that becomes your thing, right? So you start to get more traction and more money because you focus on a content creator. Like it seems to be a murky, not murky, that sounds really, but it seems to be just a very bitchy sort of space.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's probably more so in England, to be honest, than over here. But like, the good thing about dairy is there is a lot of people that are focusing on making content that are so supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. For instance, there's a girl I follow called Alana, and she follows me as well, and we would like each other's stuff, comment on each other's stuff. She has a lot of followers as well, and I was walking through the town the other day and I just seen this woman waving at me, and she came up and hugged me, and it was Alana herself.
Oh, lovely.
And it was a very positive experience. But I know that it's not, like, she was getting a lot of hate lately, and she's currently posting every single day to try to raise money for Foiled Women's Aid.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing like a massive push at the moment to try and raise any money she can for the sake of women in the town, and she's just getting so much hate for it. Which I just don't understand. And it's all personal attacks.
3-4 years ago, this was all very different. You know, there was far more protections in place, reporting systems, people getting banned. The online now is a bit of a free-for-all. Obviously, the likes of Meta and X have sort of relaxed their content. And to be honest with you, to keep up, I think, you know, the likes of YouTube, TikTok have also taken their foot off the gas a little bit in terms of protecting users.
Definitely. I've been, like, as I said, I've got a lot of, like, my message requests are awful. some of the messages that be sent to me are absolutely atrocious, but every time I go in to report them, nothing happens with it. I'm very open about my struggle with anorexia throughout my TikTok content as well. And now I'm very, very gladly in recovery. I'm going about day, trying to find the best places to eat and like having a really positive journey throughout that. But I still get comments on my weight, how I look, all those kind of things along with it as well. And if you report them, nothing happens.
Mm. Where do you think this is coming from? You know, like, are there just nasty people in any part of the world that stumble across a video and have to say something negative? Or, you know, you talked about, you like, I wouldn't know, A, your sexuality, or B, your issues, you know, you're with anorexia by talking to you like this, right? So yeah. I'd have to either be watching your content or know you to sort of start making those personal remarks about you. So where do you believe this negativity is emanating from?
Do you know what? It's that kind of culture of seeing someone doing well for themselves, I think, personally.
So you mean it's local then, potentially?
A lot of the people commenting are commenting with, like, local slang.
Mm.
Like, not just local to Derry, but, like, local to the north.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, I'm not getting a pile of Americans commenting on my videos saying things about me. I'm, like, getting people from the north commenting on my videos. And I know that it's not just me as well. That it just seems that people don't want... I think that if I had 3 million followers on TikTok, it would be a different story for people in the town. I think it would be a case that everyone would be like, oh, look, they're doing so well for themselves. Like, oh, I know them and all that crack. Whereas when you're kind of in that in-between of not having no followers, but not having a massive, massive amount, that it's a very blurred space.
Well, we know with the likes of, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, Roblox, things like that there, we know that the companies themselves can actually filter out, they can filter out language and what have you. And with AI, actually, it's even improved greater. But that being said, we're at a point now, I don't know when it's going to change, we're going to see actually less regulation of the online space, not more, and actually calling for more regulation actually is almost, I believe, to be a waste of time. Yeah. So what do you do? Do you grin and bear it and just highlight it in the hope that it changes people's attitudes? I mean, I suppose you let them win if you stop posting your content. How do you... Oh, and then as well, too, it all is down to us as individuals as to how much of that can be taken. Because, you know, I know myself, even in what I do, and I'm not sort of far left, far right, whatever. We cover everything on this show, right? But still, a lot of the criticism is very personal. You get a sense that people who are saying this stuff about you don't know you and don't understand you or where you come from, or in fact what you do. But you have to bear it, right? But not everyone can. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm gonna bear it out. I enjoy posting online. I enjoy sharing my experiences in places or sharing my life experiences with other people, and there are people who enjoy seeing what I post. I'm not going to let someone who has something nasty to say about me impact what I want to do in my life and what I want to do and what I want to post online. I think that it can be really hard at times, like hearing some of the things or reading some of the things that are said about you. 9 times out of 10, I just don't check my comments anymore.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing because, you know, as I say, I've been looking into this a little bit and... it seems to be some people's online experience is being critical, hurtful, or even trying to be funny in their hurt, commenting on TikTok videos and what else. Okay, well, listen, hopefully you do blow up to 3 million, Connor, we'll see. And hopefully you don't get as much any abuse. Why should anyone get abuse? Connor Doherty, thank you very much indeed for your time. Take care.
Thank you so much.
You can check him out on socials if you wish, if you're interested in eating around Derry and what have you. Hi, Greg. No coincidence that NECAP are being targeted after expressing support for Palestine in the United States. Yeah, well, you know, this is also part of a bit of the old cancel culture side of things. They want to cancel NECAP. That's just the bottom line. And it's regular people who have trawled through videos of NECAP to find something I've no doubt you're right. But that being said, they're in bother, in not necessarily legal bother, but they're certainly in bother in trying to win people around by saying, you know, people should be elected, politicians should be killed. You know yourself. A caller says, if you put yourself out there, you're guaranteed to get hate. The online world is 10 times worse than the real world. Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg only care about money. They don't care about people's feelings. Of course they do. Billionaires generally don't care about anyone else's feelings but themselves. Greg, Saturday's march in Dublin was the people of Ireland rising up against the government, not a racist demonstration. There was a counter-protest who screamed racism at us and told us to kill ourselves whilst giving us the fingers. All this to a peaceful crowd of adults and children. Above are the reasons I marched. Indeed, and that's right. Kathleen, thank you for that. Is Kathleen speaking to us as to why she went down? No, doesn't want to. I'm not trying to ostracise or criticise anyone. There is, as I say, a protest in Letterkenny on, I don't want to say the day because I don't know, and there's a counter-protest as well, as far as I understand. So there's one that is framed as being against illegal immigration, and then there's going to be one that I presume is going to frame those protesters as not being right or racist or whatever the terminology might be. Don't really like covering it, because whichever way I go at it, I'm the one gets in bother, and I'm the bad guy, even though you try and give everyone a platform. But anyway, we will, because that's just the way it is. Any news on the trial of three kids and carer stabbed in Dalblay? Nay, don't think so. He's in prison. He's charged with their stabbing, and that court case will be upcoming. We, of course, can't talk about anything like that, because I presume anything about that, because I presume you wouldn't want me to say something like blah, 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 and then, believe it or not, it could be used in his defence to suggest that he can't get a fair trial and thus gets off. So it's the same with any crime. Once someone has been charged, there is no word of the accused or implying that he could be guilty or not guilty, because that could complicate that trial. And I presume you want justice for the carer and the children, and mention it at this point pending the trial would be problematic. Typical Micheál Martin, the people weren't marching against immigration, they were marching about illegal immigration and the way the government is handling the issue. There were well over 20,000 at that protest compared to the handful of pro-communists, including Sinn Féin, who counter-protested. I'm wondering why the Ulster final is being held on Saturday. I know some supporters that have communions and weddings on Saturday, so they won't be able to attend. But I suppose then there's going to be a lot of supporters that would have something on Sunday as well. And then if it had been in Croke Park, twice as many people could have gone. But then it wouldn't be the Ulster final in Clonus, would it? I really don't think they can win. I don't think you're going to schedule an event where 30,000 people are going and it's going to please everybody. I think the problem is going to be getting tickets, because Armagh love an Ulster final. And, of course, they'll want a lot of tickets, as will Donegal. So I think the problem's not going to be when and where. It's going to be how you get your tickets. What a weekend of sport, by the way. Meath yesterday upset in Dublin. That's the first time Dublin have lost in their province since 2010. Can you imagine? Meath, really good value for their victory. Donegal, what do you think about their performance? And can they lift it up against Armagh? There was a massive crossover boxing match on Saturday night. Conor Benn versus Chris Eubank Jr. I'm sure many of you sat and watched the first fight between their dads in Birmingham, Nigel Benn and Chris Eubank Sr. Steve Collins was there as well. Great to see Steve Collins, a fantastic Irish sports person who I don't think gets the credit he deserved. He was part of that. He made all of that scene at that time. What else happened at the weekend? There was a lot of sport on. Liverpool, they won the Premiership. I think they were 1-0 down for a time and ended up romping home. So we love talking about sport in the show as well. So if you want to reflect on any of the sport, GAA, soccer, boxing for that matter, please get in touch, 086 60 25000. We would be more than happy to discuss your views on that stuff as well. Right, let's go to Councillor Michael McLafferty, who's on line one. Hi, Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners.
Right, okay. Now, what did you spot in Dunfanaghy?
Just basically yesterday, Greg, what happened yesterday, a dog found on the footpath outside premises there, business premises. You literally outside the doors. And my dad as well, just literally as well, less than 2 feet away from a rubbish bin. Now, I'll go to the point is here, this can be very dangerous for small children, like, or people walking, indeed walking into it, bringing it into the business premises, then dirty floors and so on. But my main point, as I was saying there to Donna Marie about, is the danger of the toxic carriers disease the dogs can carry in their stools. And then, unfortunately, if a small child then happens to come in contact with us in the footpath or play park or whatever, or otherwise, or off maybe off the wheel off their buggy, for example, and goes near the face, goes near the eyes, then it can cause permanent blindness. And just basically the point of it, highlighting it is, Greg, as always, is to ask dog owners, if you're out walking your dog or wherever, let it be in the footpath, let it be in the street, the beach, the town park, wherever, where really it's not a great place for them, the parks. But anyway, if they're there, at least clean up after your dogs.
Like, as I presume we're not talking about just, I mean, obviously you're focusing on one poo. It's more, there's obviously a greater problem than this one instance.
Oh, yes.
For you to be raising the issue.
Of course, Greg.
But why aren't we enforcing, you know, dog fouling laws more? Why don't we have a concerted campaign, you know, whereby, I mean, of course the council can't have, you know, 25 dog wardens on duty all the time, but can we not have a situation whereby, you know, there's a, we go in for periods of time over, you know, 2 weeks, whereby staff are redeployed, we go in, and, you know, if we start seeing some enforcement, some fines, some publicity, the message gets across, because this is just the same conversation over and over again, and it's an important one, Michael, but why not have a blitz? You know, why not have a blitz on dog poo whereby staff are brought in and a few fines are bandied about, get that out to the public and maybe try and change behaviour that way?
Yeah, Greg, I agree totally with you. And listen, there's something's going to have to be done. I have mentioned this several times to the council. At the moment, we have no avail of such challenges down to staff and everything else, but they're going to have to get the necessary staff for this. They're going to have to do, like you say, do a blitz, get the necessary enforcement, get ununiformed people into their towns, villages, over the various days and whatnot, and this kind of stuff, and just target those that are flouting the laws and so on, that don't care about the public, don't care about the children walking about, just totally ignorant to what's going on here when the dog's fouling and walk on then again and just leave it there. It's not on, like. But I agree with you. The only way we're going to really manage and master this is definitely going forward is to get enforcement on it. I agree with that. Yes, you are right.
Yeah, that's because, I mean, it's not that long away now, June 1st, whereby, say, for instance, restriction on dogs on blue flag beaches come into effect. That runs from the 1st of September to the 1st of June to the September 15th. And I know in June and July, and as soon as the weather's good, the texts and the calls are going to start coming in again, because that's another area of dog control that won't be enforced, you know, with the best will in the world. And I don't think anyone can actually tell me who would enforce such a law on a blue flag beach. Antoshka aren't going to do it, or the council, or the guards, you know what I mean? But it's just a problem that is all of the time, particularly when the weather's good, and nothing seems to be done about enforcement. And the public probably are getting frustrated even listening about it at this stage.
They probably are, to be fair, Greg, and rightly so. But I think as well, for the other members of the public that are listening as well out, both their dogs or dog offenders, look, there's a big responsibility in them as well.
Yeah, there's no point talking to them, my dog, and I don't mean there's any disrespect to you. There's no point talking to the minority of dog owners that don't care, because they don't care. And they're listening to this, they're probably chucking the rubbish out of the window as well to heading over past Errigal, you know, because they don't want to put their takeaway stuff in their bin, in their own bin. Do you know what I mean? And they don't care. So we're not going to get through to them by appealing to their good nature, Michael. It's only going to be, and it is the minority of dog owners that are making life difficult for good dog owners. The only way is to catch them and punish them. Because the other way is not working.
No, I agree with you. Yes, of course, it's not 100%. It's not your right, Greg. But I think for ourselves going forward, as all myself, all my colleagues in the county council there, we're going to have to push harder here and get some sort of enforcement in place and some sort of possibly meaningful penalty that's going to put people, a few people get caught, and it's going to make others then think twice. No, we don't want to get caught either. That's the only thing that's going to happen.
Okay.
That needs to happen.
We shall see. All right, then, take care of yourself. Councillor Michael McLafferty here, and it's not just a... where was that Dunfanaghy issue? In Dookery, we have similar issues. Dog mess on the green area used by village children and along footpaths and river walks. Absolutely disgusting. Getting it on your shoes, the wheels of a pram, a buggy, a wheelchair user, a walking stick. It's we've the same problem in Chrysler. Absolutely no respect for anyone. And another saying that it's people visiting the area that don't care. And that's just simply not good enough. Your views on that. What should we do? What would you like to see done? Right, let's have the people's court here. You know, we are the people of the Northwest here. Lots of you are going to text in and highlight the issue in your area. And we love that, right? But also, tell us, you know, what could or should be done? What would you like to see done? What would you like Donegal County Council to do? And we'll come up with a consensus and see where we go from there. Greg, did you go to the protest and also read Chaplin Derrybeck? Did I go to the protest? No, I didn't go to the protest, and I said I couldn't simply go to the protest because it wouldn't be a suitable place to bring a four-year-old. I said very clearly, and I know people get a wee bit edgy on this, I said that there are people who couldn't go. I'd be amongst them. I couldn't have gone there because I couldn't bring Hudson to a protest. And I also didn't criticise those that didn't go. And also, really... in my position, it might be quite difficult for me to be seen at things like that there because people could be judging that I'm taking a side. But that wasn't the point. I simply couldn't. Reed Chapel in Derrybeck. A lot of other parishioners in this county have to raise funds themselves to get their chapel finished. Reed Dromahol Parish. All chapels, churches are lovely, but it's the people that keep them. Of course it is. The church infrastructure is built on the backs of people. Regarding the cancer protest outside the hospital on Saturday, it must only be Inishowen people that are affected by cancer, as there was very little from outside Inishowen there. And I think that was kind of the way it was at the previous one as well. Will the people protesting against the migrants have a problem with Irish people living illegally in America? We like to give out about illegal immigration, but we've a high number of illegal migrants in the USA. The migrants in Ireland are what's keeping the country going. But you're conflating. It's like a lot of, I think the majority of people in Ireland working are working illegally. You know, they're not living there in accommodation provided by the state. They're not living there on money provided by the state. They are not being placed in congregated areas reliant on supports, right? And then migrants and illegal migrants are two different things in this country too. It's very complicated, but I don't think an awful lot of people would get the analogy that you put across there, but some might. 086 60 25,000.